I want you to take your copy of God's Word, whatever that is, and we're going to open our Bibles to John, your iPad, your iPhone, whatever you've got. If you don't have any of it, we're going to look at John chapter 3, verse 16. This is what the Scripture says. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I want to talk to you about faith and football. Faith and football. Paul Bear Bryant was the great coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide. And the Bear said this. He said, "My entire life, my mother wanted me to be a preacher. Mama always wanted me to be a preacher. But," he said, "I didn't end up as a preacher. I ended up as a football coach." And he said, "I am convinced there are a lot of similarities between coaching and preaching. A lot of similarities between coaching and preaching." And I think Bear was probably right. But I do know unequivocally there are some similarities between faith and football. There's some similarities between faith and football. Prior to their playoff game against the Pittsburgh Steelers in January of 2012, the Denver Broncos had lost their last three games by an average of 16 points. Three games, 16 points. Then came the famous matchup known as the 3-16 game. The Broncos hosted the Pittsburgh Steelers during the playoffs, and Denver quarterback Tim Tebow painted John 3:16 in his black eye paint. The first time he did this was in 2009 during the national championship. It lit up the internet with Google reporting 90 million searches for John 3:16. It was number one trending. It was the number one trending item on Twitter. And folks, let me say this. Everything that Twitters is not gold. During the NFL playoff game, a crucial moment came when Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger threw an interception. The only interception of the game. It was on third down and 16, which led to a Denver field goal. During the game, Tebow threw for 316 yards, an average 31.6 yards per completion, the highest completion average in a single game in the NFL. Tebow's yards per rush were 3.16. Pittsburgh time of possession was 31 minutes, 6 seconds. CBS's ratings for the game peaked at 31.6. There were more tweets of John 3:16 than there were of the royal wedding, the death of Steve Jobs, or the death of Osama bin Laden. Of the 783,137 words in the Bible, apparently God wants people to hear these 25. That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now I began to think about how football and faith are similar. And I want us to look at four similarities between faith and football. The first thing I want you to see is this. We are all drafted. We are all drafted. Now, let me make you aware of something. Perhaps you're not a football fan. Of the 120 Division I football teams, that makes up 15,000 players. But every April in New York, 32 NFL teams have the NFL draft. I want you to understand, of those 15,000 players, only 250 are drafted. But of the 250 that are drafted, only 100 actually make the NFL. You say, Pastor, what's the message for the young person? This is the message for the young person. Get an education. Get an education. Let your priority be your education, because that's going to fuel the rest of your life. And I begin to think about only 250 get drafted. But folks, I've got good news. We're all drafted. Because the Bible says, for God so loved the world. And when the Bible is talking about the world there, it's not talking about the mountains. It's not talking about the oceans. It's not talking about the rocks. It's not talking about the hills. When it says, for God so loved the world, it's talking about God loves people. God loves you. And God loves me. And ladies and gentlemen, we're all drafted. People's love is conditional, but God's love is unconditional. And Romans 5 and 8 says, God demonstrated his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That is to say, God loved us when we were unlovable. God cared for us when we didn't care. You said, Pastor Benny, I don't even love myself. I hate that, but I want you to know, you may not love yourself, but God loves you. God loves you just like you are. He loves you just like you are, but he loves you too much to leave you like you are. Amen? We're all drafted. I love what Max Licato said. Max Licato said this. He said, if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If God had a wallet, your picture would be in it. He said, God sent you flowers every spring and a sunrise every morning. Face it, friend, he's crazy about you. John 6 and 44 says this, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. You know what that's saying? It's saying, folks, God is drafting every one of us. God is drafting every one of us to himself. Somebody said, Brother Benny, I don't know what this world's coming to. Oh, I'm so glad you came today. I know what this world's coming to. I say, I know what this world's coming to. This world's coming to Jesus, because the Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. Reggie White was a great football player. He played college football at the University of Tennessee and later went on to play in the NFL. And Reggie White was one of the greatest football players probably to ever play the game. And Reggie became a free agent. And when Reggie became a free agent, he said these words. He said, I want to go to the team that God tells me to go to. He was the minister of defense. So Reggie said, I want to go to the team that he wants me to go to. And one day Reggie got a voicemail on his voicemail, and it was from the Green Bay coach, Mike Holmgren. And Mike Holmgren called Reggie's voicemail, and he said, Reggie, this is God. And he said, Reggie, I want you in Green Bay. Now, I know this. He went to Green Bay, and he signed a 4-year contract. And certainly Coach Holmgren is not God, but I want you to know this. God is calling every one of us. He's drafting every one of us. Some of you right here sitting today, you're as uncomfortable. You're as uncomfortable as a ham sandwich at a Jewish picnic. You're uncomfortable right now. I mean, you feel like, some of you feel like right now, you're in a phone booth with 3 Jehovah Witnesses. You're so uncomfortable. And you're wondering, that preacher is so getting on my toes right now. Oh, listen, honey, if I was going to aim for a body part, it wouldn't be for your toes. Amen? It's not the preacher. It's the Holy Spirit of God. John 16, 7, 8. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's necessary for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the comforter will not come. But if I depart, I'll send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. What is it? Who is it that draws us? It's the Holy Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit of God that's drafting every one of us. See, that scripture that says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever. You know, I'm so glad it doesn't. Let me say this, folks. I'm so glad it does not say Benny Tate. No, I really am. I'm glad it says whosoever. Because, see, what, I'm a football fan. I just love football. I watched quite a bit yesterday. And I told you years ago, Barbara, the most precious wife on earth, she said, Benny, do you love me more than football? And I said, Barbara, college or pro? But see, I study football. That's a joke. I study football, and this is what I know. There's a football player, by the way, he was a good football player. His name was Ben Tate. And see, if that scripture said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that if Ben Tate believes in him, I don't know. It may be him and not me. But folks, it's whosoever. That includes you. That includes me. That includes all of us. We are all drafted. God loves us all. I'll tell you something else, folks. Not only are we all drafted, but we're all gifted. You said, and Pastor explained, I'll be glad to. When that draft takes place in April, my goodness, these guys get enormous salaries. What a gift they get. Do you realize last year in 2018, the top three men who were drafted signed contracts of over $30 million? Over $30 million. Now listen, the base salary for a year, this is the lowest of the low, is $480,000. That's the lowest of the low. That's the base salary. It's crazy, folks. 22 men on a field fighting over a pigskin when they all could afford to buy their own. Amen? What a gift. They're gifted. But I want you to know something. It pales in comparison. It pales in comparison when I think about my gift. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Only begotten Son. That comes from a Greek word. It means monogenes. Begotten means one and only. God gave his one and only Son for me. See, ladies and gentlemen, I owed a debt I couldn't pay. He paid a debt he didn't owe. The Son of God. The Son of God became the Son of Man that the sons of men might become the sons of God. That's what he did for us, ladies and gentlemen. You know how much God loved me? God loved me this much. You know how much God loves you? God loves you that much. Yes, God loves you that much that he gave his only begotten Son. See, I think about Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. It's powerful verses. But made himself of no reputation and took upon the form of a servant and was made into the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, get this, folks. You say, but Brother Benny, I've known other men who died. I've known men who were in the military, and they died for their country. They chose to die. No, you missed it. Ladies and gentlemen, they chose when they were going to die, because they were going to die eventually. They may have chose when they were going to die, but they were going to die. But I want you to know something. Jesus Christ did not have to die, but he chose to die. Oh, what a gift, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I told the Lord, I told Barbara last night, I said, Barbara, I don't need anything. You said, Brother Benny, you need to stand in that pulpit. Let me tell you something, folks. If it ever comes to the point that I need to stand in it, you don't need me standing in it. If it ever comes to the point that I need to stand in it, you don't need me to stand in it. I don't need anything but Jesus. And you don't need anything but Jesus. What we need is Jesus. What a gift God gave us when he gave us Jesus. I understand what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9 and 15. He said, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. His unspeakable gift. I read about a wealthy man that loved to collect art. He had an immaculate, massive art collection, par excellence, just a wonderful art collection. He had plenty of money, and he had a son, and he and his son would sit around and they would look at the art collection. They just admired it, just loved it. Well, the son was drafted to go off to war, and he went off to Vietnam, and he was killed. And he was killed in Vietnam. And a few months after the son had died, there was a knock at the door. And a young man was standing there at the door. And he said, you don't know me. But he said, sir, I know you, because your son used to talk about you all the time. And your son took a bullet that should have been for me. Your son gave his life for me. And he said, I have a picture here that I've painted. It's a picture of your son. The quality wasn't good, but that father took that portrait. He placed it above the mantle, and every day he would stand and look at that picture of his son. Eventually, he died, and they were going to have an auction and auction off all of his famous, expensive artwork. But they started with this picture. There was going to be an auction off the entire estate, but they started with the one picture. The quality wasn't good. It was a picture of his son, and nobody wanted to bid on it. And eventually, there was a gardener who stepped up, and he bid $10, and nobody else bid. So the auctioneer slammed the gavel and said, sold. And then he slammed the gavel again, and he said, the auction's over. The auction's over. And he said, let me explain. It's written on the back of this picture by the man who owns this estate. Whoever gets the son, whoever gets the son gets the entire estate. Ladies and gentlemen, when you get Jesus, you get a father. When you get Jesus, you get the Holy Spirit inside you. When you get Jesus, you get peace of mind. When you get Jesus, you get total forgiveness. When you get Jesus, you get access to God. When you get Jesus, you get meaning in life. When you get Jesus, you get a new family. When you get Jesus, you get hope. You get joy. You get love. You get a friend that stick up closer than a brother. You get life. You get abundant life. You get eternal life. When you get the estate, you get it all. Here's what I want you to understand. We're all drafted and we're all gifted, but also we're all coached. We're all coached. What do you mean, Pastor, we're all coached? Well, here's what you got to understand. When there's an NFL draft, there's 32 teams. But no matter who you're drafted to, you get a coach. You get a football coach. Vince Lombardi became the great coach of the Green Bay Packers. And on the very first practice, Vince Lombardi said these words. He said, "We're going to relentlessly pursue perfection, realizing we're never going to achieve it, but we're going to find excellence on the way." And up to that point, Green Bay had been terrible. But Bart Starr was in that meeting. He said, "We were a terrible football team. We were 0-12 the year before, and we weren't as good as our record." And he said, after hearing Vince Lombardi speak, I called my wife, Cherry, and I said, "Cherry, this is all I know. We're going to start winning. We're going to start winning." Let me tell you something. When you get Jesus, you've got a coach. And when you get Jesus, you've got a playbook. It's the Bible. And I want you to know something. If you'll listen to the coach and you'll live by the playbook, you'll win in life. If you'll listen to the coach and you'll live by this playbook, you'll win in life. We're all drafted. We're all gifted. We're all coached. Let me tell you something else. We're all graded. We're all graded. You mean, what are you talking about, Pastor Benny? We're all graded. Well, yesterday we had college football. You say, what are the coaches doing today, Brother Benny, after all those football games yesterday? Oh, I'll tell you what they're doing. They're watching film. And they're saying, he missed a block. He missed a tackle. Our special teams didn't do well there. Quarterback didn't scan the field properly. What they're doing, I can tell you, they're grading. They're grading everything that happened. Let me tell you something. One day, the game of life's going to be over, folks. And we're all going to be graded. One day, the game of life's going to be over, and we're all going to be graded. I love what Reggie White said. Reggie White said, "When life's over, and I stand before God, He will not ask me how many Pro Bowls I was in, but He will ask me if I knew Jesus." 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all..." Now wait. That includes you. You say, Pastor Benny, I don't believe. It matters not what you believe. You're going to stand before God. You're going to stand before God. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is. It matters. You say, "Sir, but you don't understand, Brother Benny." No, you don't understand. You're going to stand before God. I'm going to stand before God. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in this body according to that he have done, whether it be good or bad. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." Because we're all, ladies and gentlemen, going to be graded. You say, "That guy's getting by." No, nobody's getting by, folks. Nobody's getting by the ultimate judge. That's why, folks, let me say this, folks. That's why we don't need to judge one another. God will take care of that. God will take care of that. No. God's called us to be witnesses, not prosecuting attorneys or judges. No. We're to be witnesses. We're to share the good news of Jesus. Years ago, we had Coach Bobby Bowden here. He's spoken here at our church several times. And I spent a little time with Coach Bowden. And He told me a story. He told me a story when he was here. He said, Pastor Benny, I had a young man on my football team. I never will forget what Coach Bowden said to me. He said, 50% of my players don't have daddies. He said, 50% of the boys on my team, there's no daddies in their lives. And he said, that kind of explains sometimes why they turn out the way they do. There's a desperate need for dads. There's a desperate need for men to step up and just be the men they ought to be. You say, Brother Benny, but you don't understand, I'm divorced. You can still be the dad. You can still be the dad. You've still got that responsibility to be that dad. And he said, I had a young man on my team by the name of Pablo Lopez. And he said, one night, Pablo Lopez, Pastor Benny, went to a party. Just a party. Young person. And Pablo had a situation, was shot and killed at that party. And he said, it really caused some disturbance on our team. And he said, I knew I had to meet with the team. So he said, the next morning I called a mandatory team meeting, and I brought every football player from the Florida State Seminoles, and we walked into a room, and they knew where to sit. But he said, I couldn't help but notice Pablo's chair. He said, I just couldn't help but notice. I couldn't help but notice Pablo's chair. And he wasn't sitting there. And he said, I walked over to that chair, and I looked at those young boys, and I said, young men, Pablo's not in this chair. I don't know where Pablo's at. He said, I'd like to tell you that Pablo was a Christian, but as far as I know, he wasn't. But Pablo's not here. He's somewhere. Folks, there was a time that you was not, but they never will be a time that you will not be. You're going to live forever somewhere. Somewhere. Pablo's not here. Coach Bowden said, I can't do anything for Pablo, but I can do something for you. And I want you boys to know that Jesus Christ died on a cross for your sins. Jesus Christ died for your sins. Jesus Christ took your hell so you don't have to go to hell. All you've got to do is to take Jesus. And then he said, if you're interested in what I've got to say, just come by my office. I'd love to talk with you. I'd love to pray with you. And by the way, folks, don't we thank God for football coaches like Bobby Bowden? Coach Bowden told me, he said, Preacher Benny, I heard a knock on my door, and I thought, good, it's one of my players. And he said, I opened the door, and it wasn't one of my players, it was one of my coaches, Coach Mark Rick. And he said, Coach Bowden, tell me more about. And Coach Bowden said, I thought, Mark Rick, he's such a good man. Surely he's saved. He's a Christian. But see, folks, being a good man's not enough. Being a good man or a good woman's not enough. How good do you have to be? How good's enough? Now, you've got to put your faith in Christ. You've got to put your faith in Christ. And Coach Rick said, I want to be right with God. He said, Mark, it's as easy as ABC. You acknowledge you're a sinner. You believe that Christ died for your sins. You confess your sins to him. And he'll forgive you, Mark. And Coach Rick said, I did that right there. I made an eternal decision right there. And I prayed and I received the Lord. Because Mark understood something. He understood that we're all drafted. He understood that we have a wonderful gift. It's the gift of Jesus. And he understood that Jesus, once we accept him, he wants to be our coach and be with us throughout life. Because one day, we're going to be graded. Listen. One day I'm going to stand before God. And if God said to me, why should I let you in my kingdom? And I said, but God, I'll tell you why. I pastored this church and gave my life to it. He'd say, no. I said, but God, let me explain. I wrote this book called Happy Wife, Happy Life. He'd say, yeah, and it wasn't that good a book. I said, but God, I was a pretty good husband. He said, no. God, I paid all my bills. No, no, no. Then he said, if you got anything else, God. When I was a 16-year-old boy, I knelt down by a couch and I asked Jesus to forgive me. Come on in. Come on in. See, folks, you're not going to heaven. I'm not going to heaven on the basis of what I've done. We're going to heaven on the basis of what Jesus did. Amen. We're going to heaven on the basis of what Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. All to him I owe. He paid it all, ladies and gentlemen. So when you get Jesus, you get it all. You get it all.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling, He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.